Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Every time we come together, it's a privilege, and we should always appreciate it. And it's a time to be blessed. I welcome everybody in the name of Jesus. I welcome all the ministers of God in the house. Pastor Dele, I appreciate you. Mommy Bello, you're welcome. Pastor Bello, the Lord is your strength, sir. Mommy, we thank God for your life. Hallelujah. And our daddy, we thank you, sir. Thanks for this privilege. Thanks for helping to build and to labor over us. I really hope we'll start learning to appreciate what God is using him to do in our life. It shouldn't be later. At least, but John is seeing that actually work is being done. Thank you so much, sir, for choosing to obey the Lord. It's not easy to do this kind of work. Hallelujah. It's not easy. If you don't have grace, you can't survive it. Amen. Shall we pray? I'm not singing this morning. There's no time. I have a lot to talk about. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the ministry of the world that you have commissioned for our building up, for our blessing. We are grateful to you. We release our heart to you. We release our minds to you this morning. We ask that you will shine your light on us in the name of Jesus. Let there be addition to this building, even by this word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 13. I'll be doing a kind of teaching this morning, and I'd like to see if I can finish what I have. 2 Kings chapter 13, I want to take the reading from verse 14. Now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians and Aphek till thou hast consumed them." And he selected the arrows and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now, thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Verse 25. And Joash, the son of Jehoahaz. This is the same person that is referred to as Joash. This was the man that came to meet Elisha while he was sick. It's Joash. And Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Azael, the cities, which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. He said, three times did Joash beat him and recover the cities of Israel, according to the word of the servant of the Lord. Now, you know, you see this drama, you understand the story. You know, Joash had come to Elisha was about to die, was sick. And, you know, a prophetic thing played out. Elisha told him to take bow and arrow, and then he asked him to put his hand on it, and then Elisha put his own hand on it and asked him to shoot, and he shot. And then he told him that he shoot to the ground. He said that's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, you know, and all that. And then the king shot just 3 times. And then he stayed his hand. And Elisha said, Why did you do that? You should have shot like 5 or 6 times. Because if you had done that, then you would have been able to engage Syria in wars, in warfare, till you are able to consume them. He said, but now you shot only 3 times. You have victory just 3 times. But those 3 times are not sufficient for you to annihilate them. So the plan of God was that, you know, what God wanted was that he was going to fight with Syria till Syria would be subdued. And Syria would not even be able to rise against Israel again. But because of, you know, the king was not sensitive enough, he couldn't play along with that prophetic act. Elisha didn't have to tell him how many times he was supposed to strike. He had already said, this is the arrow of the Lord deliverance, you know, from Syria. So perhaps the prophet expected that the king would know what to do. But he didn't know. And then, you know, that thing, he only fought with Ben-Hadad 3 times, recovered the cities of Israel, and that was all. You know, this morning I want to talk about spiritual dullness, because from what I saw, the problem with that king was it was spiritually dull. It was not spiritually sensitive, because when you know, Elisha had already said, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. If it was spiritually okay, it was spiritually right, he would have been able to understand. In fact, maybe he would have even shot more than 5 times, and Elisha would have had to say he's enough. But because he was dull, because he wasn't sensitive enough to be able to understand that this is not just about, you know, that this is a season. Hallelujah. Amen. That this is a season of divine intervention. He couldn't discern that sufficiently enough to be able to take the right course of action. And because he was not able to do that, he lost. And then, the same way in our own lives too, you know, this has even played out many times, that there were seasons of divine intervention that came into our life, but because we could not perceive them, because we could not discern them, we were not able to maximize them. Every day is not Christmas, and every day, God doesn't move every day like that, in quotes. It's not every time you see God coming, you know, to intervene and to move things and bring his own power and his own anointing. It doesn't happen every time like that. Even in the ministry of Jesus, of course, Jesus healed, you know, but there was a particular time that he said that Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present to heal. Why did he have to say that the power of God was present to heal? That means that there was something different about that meeting. Even though Jesus, you know, was the Son of God and he was anointed, but at that particular time, there was just something about it. He said the power of God was present to heal. And so there are times, there are seasons like that. There are particular, you know, times like that, that God stepped into our situation. There are times like that, that God decided to move. And if we cannot discern such seasons, we will not be able to take advantage of the opportunity that God is opening to us. It's very, very important that we cannot afford to be spiritually dull. We cannot afford to be spiritually dull. Amen. You know, remember the story of the wife of the prophet that was dead, who came to, is it Elijah or Elisha, one of them. And he said, you know, your servant fears the Lord. And, you know, but he's dead. And creditors have come to take his 2 sons. And Elisha said, what do you have? He said, I have cruse of oil. And then Elisha said, go and borrow. But he added something. Borrow not what? A few. Borrow not a few. Why? Because, listen, this one is not just about anything. God is coming to intervene in that situation, and then you must know how to maximize it. So if the woman had decided to go and borrow just 50 vessels, she would have had just 50 vessels of oil. If she had decided, if she had been able to borrow 100, or she had been able to borrow 1,000, then she would have been able to get 1,000. Do you understand that? And she would have gotten, and Elisha said, well, go and sell it, pay the creditors, and whatever you have, you can spend. Why? Because God is coming to move on your situation, and it requires you to know what to do, and that is that don't borrow just few. Borrow as much as you can get. But you can't compare the woman with a king. A king is expected to be a noble that has understanding. So if Elisha, told the woman, borrow as many as you can. In the case of the king, he doesn't need to tell the king, shoot as many times. He's a king. A king is supposed to be mature and understand. So I want to talk about spiritual dullness this morning. And I want to, all I'll be able to do this morning is I just want to talk about the things that causes spiritual dullness. But before I talk about that, let me quickly show something in Luke chapter 19. Look at what Jesus said about Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, from verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. That's Jerusalem, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Can you look at that? In this what? That day. You don't have such days every time. He said, if you have known at least in this thy day. This is your day. It's your day. Why? Because there are certain opportunities, there are certain privileges, there are certain activities that God has released for you that you're supposed to take advantage. It is your day. It's not every day. That's what I'm saying. It's not every day. There are days like that. This is your day. He said, if thou hast known even thou at least in this that day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knowest not the time of what? Of thy visitation. Because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Meaning that, after some time, Jerusalem was overrun. What that implies is that it was possible for that not to have happened. If the people had known, if the people had been sensitive enough, and if they were able to respond to the provision that God has given to them, their city would not have been overrun, just like Jesus prophesied. He said, because you did not know the time of your visitation. How come people don't know the time of their visitation? It's because of spiritual dullness. When God is opening opportunities and things are happening, and we are supposed to respond, and not just respond, we are supposed to respond fully and take full harvest of that opportunity, we lose them many times. Why? Because we are dull. Amen. What does it mean to be spiritually dull? Jesus says something in Luke chapter 24. It's a long reading. I will not be able to read everything. When two disciples, after Jesus had died, and two disciples were on their way to Emmaus. Let me find where to pick it from so that, we can't read the whole discourse because of time. And the people were sad. They were sorrowful because he just died. Because they've hanged all their hopes. He said, we thought he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. But now he's dead. The hope dashed. Look at what Jesus said in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his what? His glory. He said, you guys are foolish. Oh, fools. That word means to be senseless. Jesus didn't go, he didn't pity them at all. You guys are, the Greek word is anoetos, meaning somebody that doesn't have a mind. Your mind is not functioning, you are stupid. Amen. Things come to you, you can't process them and, you know, reap understanding from them and make use of your understanding. So you guys are stupid. All fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. What is spiritual dullness? Spiritual dullness means that you cannot interpret, you know, divine transactions. You can't interpret, you know, spiritual things. That's what it means to be dull. That's what it means to be foolish. There are two ways of it. There is a part of understanding, that then there is the other part of not being able to believe. He said, all fools and slow of heart to believe. When it is difficult to convince you, when it is difficult to you to make you believe what God is saying, you are spiritually dull. It's not just about understanding alone. If you cannot understand spiritual things, if you cannot decode spiritual things, you are spiritually dull. But also if it is, if you are slow of heart to believe, if you cannot believe the word of God, if it's difficult to make you to believe God's promises, then you have become spiritually dull. Amen. Do you understand that? He said, oh, fools. Why? Because it's in the prophet that Jesus Christ will die. He said, oh, not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory. If you have understood that, you won't have any issue with that. Nobody will even cry. Why? Because it's for the better. Amen. Because that is the will of God. He said, oh, not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. But they did not see it. They could not understand it. They couldn't process it. Why? Because they didn't have the capacity. They were dull. And it was not just about, you know, it was not just about these people. Even the 12. Even the 12. And one of our greatest undoing as Christians is this issue of spiritual dullness. Lack of capacity to interpret this divine transaction. Lack of capacity to interpret what God is saying. Listen to me. It's not only in the scriptures that God speaks to us. God speaks through creation. God speaks through events. They are valid of God. They are also valid as with the scriptures. Amen. You won't get everything inside the Bible. But even when things happen, through events, through creation, through nature, God speaks to us, God communicates to us. When you look at the things God has created, when you look at the ocean, when you look at the sun, you discover all of them are volumes. They're volumes of books. And there was a time that there were people that lived on the face of the earth that could accurately interpret what God was saying through creature. You know, it's Romans chapter 1. He said, the visible, he said, God has made it manifest to them through the things that are created. So all of these things we see around, they are communications of God. Then events, the things that happen, they are also communications of God. So as COVID is now, there is a saying. Amen. COVID itself is a message. And if we are spiritually sensitive enough, we can open that book and be able to bring out what God is saying therein. Even personally, God will speak to you through things that happen in your life. Amen. If you are not dull spiritually, you can discern your journeys. You can be able to say, this one, I know this is not my path. I know this is my path. Why? Because sometimes ago, this happened. And when that thing happened, I knew God was telling me, this is not the way to go. But because we are spiritually dull, many times we can't pick those things, and then we run into crisis that we are supposed to avoid. Amen. So, being spiritually alive, being spiritually intelligent, there is spiritual intelligence. There is what is called spiritual intelligence, meaning that you can look at things and with the eyes of the spirit, you can gain insight and be able to accurately interpret the communication of God. So we have wasted encounters. We have wasted encounters. We have wasted experiences. We have even wasted anointings. Why? Because we could not discern that that is our time. Because if you truly discern, you take advantage of it. So why are people spiritually dull? One, I can't finish what I have here, but one, I said laziness, indifference, and apathy towards spiritual things. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Let's have Hebrews 5, 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are what? Dull of what? This is not spiritual dullness. This is a cause for spiritual dullness. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. They are what? They are dull of what? That word dull means they are lazy. That is a symptom. Or no, that is a cause. It's like a bacteria. The reason. This dullness is a virus. Amen. Is what? The same virus, the same COVID-19 is causing, you know, the way problem. This one is a virus that when it enters your system, amen. That is, you know, it's a serious thing. He said, you people are dull of what? Of hearing. You know what Paul was saying? You people are making it difficult for us to teach you. We want to teach you, but when we come here, there's no utterance. Yes, sir. Because you people are what? You are lazy. You are dull. You are slow to learn. Do you know in the times of Samuel, the Bible says that the word of the Lord was cast in those days. There was no what? Open vision. The word open vision means that nothing was breaking from heaven down to earth. There was only one reason. Not because God wasn't ready to speak. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was what? What was the book before Samuel? Amen. Nobody was looking for God. Nobody was looking for God. But when God found Samuel, when God did what? When God found Samuel, the word was no longer scarce. When people begin to release their antenna, when people begin to open their heart, you think as if God just started talking. But it's not as if God just started talking. God has always been wanting to say something, but the people are not ready to hear it. So one of the major cause of spiritual dullness is when people are lazy, people are sluggish, people are indifferent, and they are walking in spiritual apathy. Apathy toward the things of God. Lack of interest. It's so serious. It will make you dull. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at what Jesus said about that church. I think in the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that I have neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let's look at that and see what Recommendation of Jesus to them in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be what? Be what? Be what? Be zealous. That was the problem. Lukewarmness means indifferent, lack of interest, unenthusiasm. When you see somebody is lukewarm, meaning that the person is not showing enthusiasm, it's not as if the person is not, they will still respond kind, but it's the response is even giving you a dick. Jesus said, I even prefer that you are here than this place where you are, because you are not helping matter. Lukewarmness is the same thing as being lazy. He said, be zealous. We can't continue to remain lukewarm. We can't continue to be unenthusiastic. Listen, it's either we are cold or we are on fire. There's more of lukewarmness in the church than coldness and hotness. We want to sit on the fence. So when we become slothful, and do you know why? You know, one of the problems we have is not that we are unoccupied. It's because we are occupied with the wrong things. I've never seen a man that doesn't have anything that is taking his or her time. It's just what is taking the time that is different. We are showing indifference to the things of the Lord. We are lazy towards the things of the Lord, but we are actually diligent when it comes to some other things. And that's why we are dull. Listen to me. Well, you don't say because, see, some of us, your problem is social media. That's the problem you have. For some of us, our problem is DSTV. Amen. We are too occupied. And those things are sapping out energy from us. They are making us dull. How will you not be dull when those are the things you are giving your time to? Because the things you give your time to is the things are the things that will form you. When you give yourself to the Lord, we begin to see the imprint of the Lord in your life. This generation has to awake. We have to see. We really have to wake up. I don't watch seasonal movies. And for one reason, I want to help myself. I don't watch them. I prefer the 2 hours. One, let me watch it finish. Go. But when them, yeah, this one has how many season? I finished season one. Season two, job and get it. Deck. After season two, job, this one season, and then until you finish it, you will have no rest. Well, I don't watch them. The last time I watched one was maybe how many years ago. Because those things, they sap your, you know now, maybe we all know. We know the kind of attention we give. Those times, when I was still serving, when Legion of the Seeker came out, I watched it all night. But you say, let's come and do VG. You will not see people. How many of you can listen to message all night? Pastor Shay say, okay, this Friday is a teaching night. By the time it's 12, even you will be discouraged. The anointing will fly. By the time you look at the faces of the people that are sitting, all the eyes are heavy. There is a problem. They make us dull. These things are, they are strength killers. This up strength. Whatsoever it is, anything, your home may not be anything. Your home may even be your academics. It may even be anything. What, in as much as you are not those things, that because as you can't spend your time doing two things. You can't be watching this. You can't be watching movie and at the same time say, yes, we are studying. We are meditating on the word. We study. You can't. We have to cut down this thing. Less of these things. Less. You know, I have some of my younger ones that we stay, not in my apartment, but they also stay. You know, we're talking one day and the guy said, "Father, you are boring." Say, "You are boring." "Thank you." Igbe ilon yolo kwa da. Eh? Do you understand it? Igbe ilon what? Lon yolo kwa da. Continue. We have to wake up. That's the truth. We have to wake up. Something is wrong. You know, when you meet and you say, Lord, I couldn't raise any dead. You know what, Smith, we could always say? Facebook is your problem. You will say, me in my days, you can't bring newspaper into my house. You know, you can't bring newspaper into Smith Wigglesworth's house. Newspaper. You can't bring it into his house. How many dead did that man raise before he left? Many. You cannot even eat malaria. We now say the anointing of the Lord is not moving in our generation. It's like God is God has withheld the power. God did not withhold any power. He has always been willing to do the things he has been doing. The problem is that we are not available. We are too busy. We are too busy. Our times are occupied. Sorry, I'm not particular about finishing this message. I just want to drive home what I'm saying. We have to, listen, it will have to be a fight. It will have to be a warfare. You may have to make certain decisions and say, come, this thing you have, if you are not going to leave me, I'll leave you. And what's the problem? Because why, I'm becoming dull. You know, when if I just finish watching a movie, to even pray, there'll be distraction. You know, there's a way your mind, the sins are, that for me, I will have to fight to be able to, at least, let me still concentrate. Because the sins will be coming. You know, it's interesting. So the sins will be coming. Praying is work. This movie is interesting too. So my soul will hold on to the team more. Than this is my praying team. So I need to walk. Amen. So laziness, indifference, and apathy towards spiritual things is one of the very, very important causes of spiritual dullness. Dullness. And you know it. See, we all know it. If I want to do, I'm working on my project. If I want to really do anything meaningful, I should just not open Facebook. Because I won't know when 2 hours has gone. Then another, why did I open this laptop? I want to do something. Let's move forward. You all know. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I started 5 minutes to... When am I finishing? Yes, I know. 5 minutes to 10, right? So I should be through in by 10:35. So I have less than 10 minutes. Okay. Romans 8, 6. This one is close to what we have said. Romans 8, 6. Okay. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. You see, one of the things that actually contribute to people's dullness is what they fix their mind on. It's what they fix their mind on. That would mean a minding of the flesh, meaning that when you are too earthly conscious, when you are too conscious of earthly transactions, when your mind is preoccupied, when you are preoccupied with, you know, that when we astray your thoughts, we discover that there is little time of you thinking about spiritual realities than when you take thinking about this realm. You cannot afford not to be dull. You'll be very dull. Let me tell you, one of the ways by which we upgrade our mind. Naturally, our mind we cleave to the dust. Our mind is normally our mind is fleshly. By early program, by the way we have lived and everything, our mind is fleshly, our mind is earthly. We are more prone to think earthly than to think heavenly. Why? Because we can see this realm, but we can't even see that one. But the essence of preaching is that that which we can't see physically, by the essence of teaching, they can be communicated to us, that through our mind, we can begin to fellowship with those thoughts. I'm telling you, when you begin to fellowship about spiritual things, you discover that yourself, you begin to gravitate. You see yourself walk more in the spirit. You see spiritual realities happen more to you. You see yourself being able to understand more spiritual things. Are we saying you should not think about the earth? If you have a family, okay, I think I see one of the points. You have a family, you are a student, you have to read, you have to prepare, you know, like Baba Ode is doing, trying to do a course and all of that. We are saying that in the midst of all those things, you must ensure that you keep place. In fact, not that you keep a place, you must ensure that the thoughts of God are number one. But when you say you keep a place, that one is not enough. It's about, he must be number one. A minding of the flesh is dead. It kills you. It makes you to be spiritually dull. It makes you not able to interpret spiritual realities. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul was showing his burden about some people. He said, who mind earthly things? Amen. You must be able to create that divide. Don't feast on the earth too much. Don't feast on the earth too much. Open your mind to anything that has come through the help of the Spirit. And one of those things is the Word. Open your mind. Let the Word infiltrate your mind. Let it infiltrate your mind. It will even help you in managing this realm. Tell the truth. It will help you in managing this realm. Why? Because the wisdom of God will help you to administer. You can't live better on this earth except you are running through the wisdom of God. Because you know the things to give your strength, or you know the things that are not necessary. It is, see, everything is not necessary. Every degree is not necessary. Every course is not necessary. Ah. You know what to do and what not what to do. There are some things that are just time wasters. Because at the end of it, you discover that this thing really did not contribute to. Must you do masters? Is there anybody that will do masters in life? If it's not going to add to your life, hey, time will pour. That's the truth. We don't have enough time to do the things we have to do. If you have read Paul's epistles well, and you see the kind of person God wants us to be, you'll be wondering, how do I want to cope? Yes, the grace of God is available for us, but at the same time, my time is almost done. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 24. I think I will close here. If I can still take one other thing, I will take it. Please don't get me right. I'm not saying, you know, one of the things that we need is planning. And if you are going to plan, that means that you have to think about your life. You have to think about what you want to do. We are not saying that don't take time to look at your life and, you know, plan it and fix things. But I'm saying that If your mind is set on the things of God well enough, the wisdom of God will even help you in that. There are some things you put in that plan that God will tell you, you don't need. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to go. That is what we are saying. Let our mind be preoccupied. Let's begin to find the things of the Spirit and begin to mind them. Begin to mind. Take for instance, the issue of life and immortality. Begin to mind immortality. Set your mind on it. What is God really saying? What, you know, I was recently thinking, he said God would abolish death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Meaning that in the gospel, all you need to know about life and immortality is there. But we don't even know these things. We don't know. So why not invest our mind and begin to, you know, press into those realities for understanding? Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 39. What does it say? It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not of the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were what? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What happened to them? And knew not until what? The flood came. I remember I've done a teaching along this line. Take note. He said they knew not until the flood came. He didn't say they knew not the time the flood came. Is that what? They knew. I've switched off the phone. Okay, it's a phone. And knew not until the flood came. They knew not, meaning that their knowledge was supposed to be what? Progressive. Okay. Don't worry, I will soon be true. Okay.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. He said they knew not until the flood came, meaning that their knowledge was supposed to be progressive. He has said it. He said, no, look at that. He said, but of that day and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father what? Only. Let me tell you. When Jesus was going to be born, God didn't announce to anybody that he will be born tomorrow. But two people by the Spirit knew. Hello? God didn't tell Simeon, Jesus will be born tomorrow. The day they brought Jesus to the temple, you know what happened? The Holy Ghost just told him, oh yeah, go to the temple. Anna, the Spirit, he said, and she came in that what? Instant. It was not that they knew, but because they were people that were already on the journey with God, when that thing was going to happen, they were alerted in their spirit and they walked into it. See, I'm saying it. If anybody tell you that the Lord will come in 2025, on my word, the person is a false prophet. Amen. Amen. You know, that's very audacious. On my word. On my word. Who prophet do you expect? Even if John Knight tell you, or another prophet, or pastor, or JJ, it's not true. Because he won't tell anybody. All them that we know in the instant of the Spirit. They will know in the instant of the Spirit. Another time when I have opportunity, I'll come and tell us how we can journey and come to that point. There's no time. Hallelujah. I believe we have been blessed this morning. Let's awake. You know, God told in Matthew 24, he said, pray that your flight will not be in the winter. Why do they have to have a flight? Because in the day of their visitation, they did not know. You don't need a flight. See, all the fear, when people are running up and down, you can sit down, go to the theater, have conflict beside you, and be cruising. Why they are all running around? Why? Because you have been secured. You don't need flight. You know what I mean by flight? Running up and down. You don't need to be running up and down. When men are running up and down, they are confused. You know what Jesus said? He said, people will be afraid, they will see signs from heaven. What did he say? He said, lift up your head. For your redemption is what? That is it. That's it. So when anybody is afraid of COVID, we should just keep cool. We understand. We are journeying with God. We know this is. We know this is, and we are relaxed. That is the true church. Not this panicking church. All of these ones are testing ground. God is trying to prepare us so that when the higher things are coming, we would have learned. Woe to us if we don't learn. Father, we give thanks to you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for that which you have spoken to us. Let your word have entrance into our heart. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit,
You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit field meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.